want to go quickly, briefly, to Matthew 14, verse 22, picking up there. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and our hearts to understanding. Lord, you know every need represented here today. You know every storm that we're going through. Lord, you see Rick and his family. You see Sister Baggett and her family. Lord, you see every name that was requested here this morning, every hand that was lifted, God. You are the Lord of our storm. I'm asking that you reach down and you touch in this place. Touch our minds and our hearts. Let us be open to your will for our lives and that you would direct us and keep us in every decision, every storm that we go through. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Look to your neighbor and say, stumbling through the storm. Stumbling through the storm. Stumbling through the storm. Jesus orders his disciples into a boat that was headed for a collision course with a mighty gale, a mighty wind, a mighty hurricane, if you will. The Bible says he constrained them to get into a ship. It was headed for troubled waters, and it would be tossed about like a bobbing cork, and the disciples would be thrust into a terrifying experience. And Jesus knew all of this before he ever constrained them to get into the ship. To put this into context and where we're at in this story, Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000 plus men, women, and children, and with the fishes and the loaves, and the multitude that had nothing was now picking up the leftovers. And what seemed like an impossible task to feed 5,000 men plus the women and children became a miraculous outpouring and a divine intervention in the hands of God. He break and he give and he blessed and he multiplied these fishes and these loaves. And after this had occurred, the scripture says that Jesus constrained his disciples to go before him to the ship and in a ship. Constrained means not to ask. I'm not asking you, but to force or to compel. He set them up. He knew exactly what he was doing to them. And in the meantime, he goes off and he finds a view from the mountains. The Bible says he was alone and he prayed and he was there. And I have no doubt he was praying, Lord, help them to pass this test. Lord, I hope old Peter, I hope these guys, I hope they get this test. Let them pass this. I know they can do it. I believe in them. And he knew they must go through this trial, though. And the boat trip, the storm, the tossing waves, the winds and the waters were all part of a trial that he had planned for them. They were about to learn the greatest lesson they would ever learn. That lesson was learning how to recognize Jesus in the storm. Recognizing Jesus in the storm. They recognize him to this point as a miracle worker. Yeah, he's a miracle worker. The man who turned the loaves and fishes into miracle food. They recognize him as a friend of the sinners. They recognize him as the one who brought salvation to every kind of lost humanity. They knew him as the supplier of all of their needs, even paying their taxes from a fish's mouth. They recognized Jesus as the Christ, the very Son of God. They knew he had the words of eternal life. They knew he had the power over all the work of the devil. And they knew him as a teacher, teaching them how to pray, how to forgive, how to bind and to loose, how to set free. But they had never learned to recognize Jesus in the storm. And tragically, those disciples who thought they really knew him best could not recognize him when the storm hit. When the storm hit, they didn't even recognize that it was God. The very ones that taught of his miraculous saving grace couldn't see salvation in their personal storm. Stumbling through the storm. That's the root of most of our trouble today. We trust Jesus for miracles and healing, and we believe that we can pray and he can do anything, and he can. We believe him for our salvation and for the forgiveness of our sins, and he does wash white as snow. That blood was shed for you and I. You can get covered by that blood. You can have a way of salvation and a plan of it. There is more than just here and now by the shedding of his blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for Calvary. We look to him as the supplier of all of our needs, and he does supply our needs, and he does take care of us, and he does look out for us. We trust him to bring us into glory one day, but when a sudden storm falls upon us and when the winds and the waves seem to come in from all directions, we begin to fall apart. Everything is falling apart around us. We find it difficult to see Jesus anywhere near at that time. We usually say, why is this happening? Why do I have to go through this? We can't believe he allows storms to teach us how to trust. We are never quite sure he is nearby when things really get rough in our lives, and the ship is now tossing and turning in its turbulent waters, and it appears to be sinking, and winds are blowing all around them, and they have everything contrary against them and working against them. These men were sailing men. They were experienced fishers. They knew how to handle themselves in a boat. Scripture says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. They were so suddenly swamped, so suddenly overwhelmed. The very thought that Jesus was nearby watching over them was absurd. One of them, I'm sure, probably said, this is the work of Satan. The devil's out to kill us. He's going to take us out because of all those miracles we've had a part in. And we've been witnessing to other people, and the devil's after us. Another, I'm sure, said, where did we go wrong? What did we do? Which one of us has sin in our life? We need to have a soul searching, a heart searching. Let's confess one to another. Was it you? Was it you? Was it me? Is God mad at somebody on this boat? Another could have said, why us? We're doing what he said to do. We're following his direction. We're obedient. Did not we get on this boat and go? He told us to go. We knew there was a, why are we here? What's going on? Why all of a sudden this storm? Why would God allow us to be shaken up so much on our divine mission? We were doing what he said to do. Was he not the Messiah? Was he not the Creator? Is he not God? What are we doing here? We're going to die. And in the darkest hour, Jesus went unto them. How difficult it must have been for Jesus to wait on the edge of the storm, loving them so much, feeling every pain that they felt, and wanting so much to keep them from getting hurt, yearning after them as a father does his children, fully knowing and wanting them to trust him and to believe in him. And till the fury of the storm was upon them, he would reveal himself at that time. And when they had reached the limit of their faith, the boat would have never gone down, but their fear would have drowned them more quickly than the waters and the waves beating on the ship. The only fear of drowning was from despair. The only fear was from anxiety and from disappointment and from just pure anger. Yeah, they were afraid. What storm are you in life? Well, what storm are you going through right now? What are you dealing with in your personal life? Not in brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or auntie or uncle or mom. In your life, right here. What storm are you going through? Working on ships for many years, I recognize a common misconception. Ships don't sink because of the water around them. Ships sink because of the water that gets inside of them. I've barreled through some tremendous heavy storms, some high waves in my life, in literal ships. Ships are designed to fight the storm. They're not designed to turn sideways in the storm and try to run. They're designed to plow right into the waves. It's when you try to turn and run that you're in trouble. I was on a ship out of the Aleutian Island chain, and we had pulled up anchor in 10, 15 foot swells, nothing really, really bad. And our engine died, and a wave caught us sideways and began to turn us, and we were scrambling to try to get restarted and to move around because the waves were picking us up and flipping us around, and our anchor rope was still down, and the chain was halfway up. And do you know that wave picked the whole ship up and turned it and set it down like this, and the whole prop and the back shaft coming out wrapped around the anchor chain. We were dead in the water. There's rocks, there's an island right here, and it's pushing us towards it. There was one other crazy person out there in that weather. And they heard our mayday, and they come running. We hooked a line two or three times, and it popped. The waves were so strong. We were in trouble. We didn't know what to do. Your adrenaline goes, and I mean, stuff begins to happen in seconds. And you have to make split decision seconds for your whole crew. You're either going to make it or you're not going to make it by that decision you made in the middle of a storm. Thank God we got out. I'm here. Hallelujah. Sometimes things happen out of your control. Sometimes things blindside you. You're not expecting. Sometimes when help comes running and they try to help you, the line breaks. The old saying, you're up a creek without a paddle. There wasn't no paddling out of that situation. Struggling through the storm. Struggling through the storm. Jesus, as the captain, knew this before He sent His disciples ahead of them. He knew they were going to be okay. It was a test. It was a trying. It was a furnace moment when they were getting purged and cleaned and realizing, ha, there's something more to this. The trouble is not the ship. The trouble comes when the waters start to seep into the ship. One of the only times that I ever allowed another captain to tell me to do something I didn't want to do, and I did it, was because we were in trouble and there was a bilge that was underneath the deck, and they had a hole that was about this big, and you see me, I'm about this big. He said, go down there and change that bilge or we're going to be in trouble. We're taking on water. There ain't nobody else where we're at. So you know what I did? I crawled in that hole. I scraped every inch of my body. I probably made a new hole. And you get down in this little crawl space, and it's about yay wide, and I'm on my hands and knees in my belly, and I'm going, I got all this stuff on a rope, and I'm pulling it up. I get the pump changed. I busted knuckles. I hurt. I was so mad. I got out of that hole, and I told that captain, I said, sir, I was only first mate, so he was a sir. You ain't bad enough, big enough, or important enough to ever make me crawl back down in that hole. If we weren't taking on water, there ain't no way I would be going down in that hole. But when you're in the middle of a storm and you're taking on water, you do what you got to do. Hindsight, I'm glad I did it because we made it. But you ain't putting me in no hole. There ain't nobody in here putting in me. Just go ahead and shoot me. I ain't going in that hole. These men were experienced. They knew what they were doing. They were fighting. They didn't know which direction it was coming from. It was a gale. It was hitting them from all sides. Peter, trying to exercise some faith, he ventures out into the water when he sees Jesus. He thought he recognized his Savior, and the water couldn't hurt him. The water couldn't harm him. He's walking on the water to meet his Savior, and the storm couldn't drown him. The Bible says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. He began to let it come into his mind. He looked down and, oh, what am I doing? And he began to sink. He began to sink. Jesus reaches out his hand and he rescues Peter. Peter replied, O thou of little faith. He tells Peter, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? It wasn't the storm that had power over Peter. Peter had power and the power through Jesus Christ to conquer the storm. Do you hear me this morning? You can get through your storm. It doesn't matter what you're facing. You have the power. You have the power to get through it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all things are possible. You can make it. You can make it. Unfortunately for Peter let the water in the boat of his mind. In his mind, he chose to doubt. He let the storm, he looked around, it was boisterous. It's rough, I'm going to drown. He lost sight of his captain. He lost sight of his Savior. You got to remember, Jesus can calm the sea at any time simply by speaking the word. But the disciples couldn't. They can't at this point. Could faith on their part have exercised, been exercised, and couldn't they command the sea in Jesus' name? It says, greater works shall ye do. Could not the promises have been put into practice? All things asked in prayer, the Bible says, ye shall have. But it's not until we realize and we recognize Jesus in the storm. You've got to see Jesus in your storm. Not until we receive faith to ride out the storm. Not until we learn be of good cheer when the boat appears to be sinking. When everything seems to be going wrong, just call on Jesus. God, you're going to get me through this. Matthew 14:26. And when the disciples saw him, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. Man, there's a ghost out here. We're in this storm and now there's a ghost? What is going on? We are in trouble. They did not recognize Jesus in that storm. They saw a ghost. They saw an apparition. They thought it was of Jesus being so near. He's in a mountain somewhere. He sent us out here. We're in trouble. The storm's around us. There's a ghost coming at us. What are we going to do? That Jesus would be coming to them walking on the water, that never entered their mind. That Jesus would be in the midst of their storm, it never entered. Can I be honest this morning? When I'm in the middle of my storm, I don't always recognize that Jesus is walking towards me and with me and to me. Stumbling through the storm. Here's the danger we all face. Not being able to see Jesus in our troubles. Instead, we see ghosts. In that very peak moment of fear, when the night is the blackest and the storm is the angriest and the winds are the loudest and the hopelessness is so overwhelming, Jesus always draws near to us to reveal himself as the Lord of the flood, the Savior in the storm. Psalms 29:10, the Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. They compounded their fears. They panicked. Not only were they afraid of the storm, they had a new fear, ghost. The storm was spewing up ghosts. Mysterious spirits were on the loose. You would think that at least one of the disciples would have recognized what was happening and say, hey, look guys, Jesus said he would never leave us or forsake us. We're going to make it. He sent us out here on this mission and we're in the center of his will. We're going to be okay. No, that didn't happen. He said the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Look again, that That's our Lord out there. He's right here. He's never been far away. We've never once been out of his sight. Everything's under control, but not one disciple could recognize him. They didn't expect him to be there in their storm. They expected him to be at Samaria waiting for them. They expected him to be there with outstretched arms, bidding little children to come and to the temple and driving out money changers and to one day be at the right hand of the Father to make them kings and priests. But never, never, never did they expect him to be with them, near them, in the middle of the storm. It was just to them an act of destiny, an unexpected disaster, a tragic accident that just befell them, an unwanted, unexpected, unnecessary trial. Why? A night to be forgotten, but God saw the storm through different eyes. It was as much a test for the disciples as the wilderness was for Jesus. God took them away from the miracles, and he shut them up in a tiny, frail boat far from the upper room, and he turned nature loose, and God allowed them to be shaken and to be, but not sunk. He didn't sink them. He didn't take them out. He didn't kill them. There was only one lesson to be learned, only one, a simple little bitty lesson that we've got to learn, not some deep mystical earth-shattering, but Jesus simply wanted to be trusted as their Lord in every storm and every situation of life and every avenue, no matter what your name is, no matter what background or how much you're worth or what you do for a living. God is there in the middle of your storm. He simply wants you to recognize him and trust in him and to maintain your cheer and confidence even in the blackest of trials, in the darkest of hours, when everybody you counted on fails you. Trust in God. When everybody that you counted on lets you down, trust in God. In the middle of the storm. After studying all of this, I'm filled with joy to know that my God is in control, even through my storm. He's in every step I take. My every thought, the number of hairs on my head, although it's getting thin and it's starting to recede a little bit, is kind of worrisome, but God knows. Who needs hair? Just saying. My faith grows every time I read about the wondrous miracles of God. But there was still one little thought that was nagging me, and I studied this story, Matthew 14:22. It says, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him. And as I said before, he forced or commanded or compelled them to this terrifying situation that they were in. And while he sat in the safety of the mountains and far away from the winds and the waves, why would Jesus put them in such a situation? Why would he allow his closest followers to suffer in fear? They already knew him. They already believed he was the Messiah. They already had faith to pray for healing and miracles. They already worshiped him in spirit and truth. Why the suffering? Why the heartache? The rest of the story can be found in Matthew 14:32-33. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. The disciples weren't angry with Jesus. They didn't question him or wonder why he had put them through such a terrible storm and the fear and the frustration they went through. Quite the contrary. They had received an amazing revelation of the truth of who Jesus really was. And they began to worship him. And after coming through this storm safely, their knowledge of who Jesus was became very clear. Their faith began to increase and their worship compounded and began to multiply, and the storm was not their destruction. It was a time of restoration. It was a time of rebuilding their faith. Jesus didn't send them forward to fail. He sent them forward to flourish, to flourish. He's not going to take you out of your storm. He's going to see you through your storm. Greater is he that is with me than he that is in the world. world. I can do all things through Christ. I can be more than a conqueror. Struggling through the storm. If you would stand with me this morning as they come, whatever storm you're facing, know that it doesn't have to conquer you. In fact, it could be your greatest triumph. Know that no matter what you're facing, God is in control. Don't let the waters around you get into your ship. Don't let the waters of doubt or fear or anxiety or frustration or disappointment, don't let that sink you. Keep pressing towards the mark. Keep reaching out to the lost. Keep spreading the gospel. This is what the presence of Jesus is all about. Do you realize if everyone would just reach one, we would double? You don't have to have some great, mystifying lecture or sermon or teaching. All you need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about what I think or what I say. It's not about me. It's about Him. You can forget my name. You can forget who I am. But don't forget who Jesus is. In the middle of your storm, when everything is chaos, don't forget who Jesus is. In Alaska, we had survivor suits. Anybody know what a survivor suit is? It's a suit where they basically can find your body, is what the joke is up there. But the Coast Guard would come in and you had to put that suit on in less than a minute. And they would be screaming and standing over you and making turmoil around you to try to distract you. Felt like I was in boot camp. It was horrible. But you had to get in this suit and zip it up and jump in. And even with the suit on, it is freezing. And every thought is going through your mind. Is my foot going to go in the right side? Am I going to get the zipper up? I got to pass this test. And thank God at sea, I only had to put it on one time. But that one time I had to put it on, thank God they beat me into compliance to have to be in this under a minute. Because seconds go by like that. And you look around and things are going on that is out of your control. And your adrenaline begins to rush and instinct begins to kick in and all you want to do is survive. It's the same way with living for God. We preach the same gospel over and over and over again. You might hear Brother Chassel, you might hear Brother Baggett, me, other people come in. But it's the same gospel presented in a way to try to drive it home in your mind and your heart and your soul that it'll stick when the fiery darts are coming at you. When the onslaught of the enemy is attacking you, you'll hear that voice of pastor saying, you can do this. Stand. You'll hear the little children singing praises to God. It's when you're in the storm that you find out who you are and what you're made of. And it's the ones you've lived through the storm with, you learn to trust some of them cats. They got your back. You ask police officers, firefighters, their brotherhood, they're not related, but the brotherhood, they know I can count on that. He's been through what I've been through. Something happens, he knows what to do. I don't want to go in there with somebody that doesn't know what to do. I don't want to go to sea with a rookie. The same in the kingdom of God. I want to make it. I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't want to beat people up. I want to love people. Through the storm, struggling through the storm. Life is a struggle. Family is a struggle. Relationship is a struggle. But through it all, Jesus is there. Here I am. Here I am, come and dine. The master calleth. Here I am. I wonder if you just lift your hands right now and ask him, God, see me through the storm. Let me see you in the storm, God. Let me realize who I am, where I am, that I have my trust and my faith and my hope in you, God. You're going to make a way where there seemeth no way. And you're going to see me through this storm. Thank you, Jesus. God, be my bread. Just ask him right now. Oh God, be my voice.